Okay, you're taking out outline number two for a gospel preaching, but I want you just to flip back to outline one, and then I'm going to reference something in the ministry portion for message one. So I just want to do a little review. This line is the line of the gospel.
Amen.
And in message one, we saw that we are here to encourage you to seize the opportunity to pick up a burden.
Amen.
Don't think the burden will just come. It needs to be picked up. It requires something on your side to have an amen,
amen.
To have a yes.
Amen.
Pick up the burden, especially during your college years, to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And yesterday I used the word that I was up here and I said I was a little crazy. And actually, I don't want to give you a wrong idea, but the proper word was probably I was a little more just rushed. But I realized in the ministry portion, if you flip to that, the first requirement for preaching the gospel is to be crazy. So it's much better than me telling you to be crazy. I was crazy. Because when you're crazy, you're outside of yourself. First requirement for preaching the gospel is to get outside of yourself. Lose some self-consciousness. Same like our brother said, the second requirement is to have a thick skin. You need to build this up. This does not come just like the gospel. We need to pick up the burden. We need to build up. It requires something on our part. When we receive the commission and say amen to it, these things will begin to happen,
amen.
Right? We will be brought outside of ourselves to be crazy for the gospel.
Amen.
Actually, crazy will become normal.
Amen.
Crazy is only the ones that don't know the Lord. Among us, it will be, wow, where have I been my whole life? This is the most wonderful life.
Amen.
I am free from myself. To flow the divine life out,
amen.
To bring others into the flow,
amen.
And we can enjoy it together.
Amen.
Fruit-bearing life is most wonderful.
Amen.
We need to be crazy for the gospel. We need to build up the thick skin. Building up the thick skin, right? Many of you enjoy playing the guitar, but you didn't enjoy in the beginning because your skin was so thin. You played because of the joy of playing the guitar, not because of the pain, you know? Look at the joy of fruit bearing.
Yeah.
Then build up the skin, right?
Yeah.
You're not looking at the difficulty of, oh, rejection. You're looking at the joy of fruit.
Amen.
And at the enjoyment of the Lord you will experience.
Amen.
Build up the thick skin.
Amen.
Practice. Pick up the burden.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going on to message two. And you can switch to your outline for message two. Message two is prayer and companions.
Amen.
So to connect message one with message two, five words for message one, just to take these away. Let's say them all together. One, you can repeat after me. One, commission. Two, responsibility. Three, love. Four, opportunity. Five, body. Okay? One, commission. Two, responsibility. Three, love. Four, opportunity. Five, body. Today we go on to two more, and this is prayer and companions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can pray. We need to come to this message with the word, with the prayer, Lord, teach me to pray.
Amen.
Also, Lord, two are better than one.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to get into these matters a little bit, and I'm going to try and streamline the sharing so that we have plenty of time for you to open up and share at the end from either message one or message two. We need your testimonies to confirm the word.
Amen.
So be ready and be prepared to flow something out for 30 seconds once we end. The mics will be up front. Praise the Lord. Okay, Roman numeral 1. Let's have the brothers read Roman numeral 1. Amen.
For there to be power and impact in preaching the gospel, first we have to pray.
Brothers, too weak, stronger.
For there to be power and impact in preaching the gospel, first we have to pray.
You need to draw my spirit out with your exercise spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you have the matter of the gospel, and here we're bringing in the matter of prayer. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 4, it says, I exhort therefore, first of all,
Amen.
Petitions and prayers.
Amen.
Intercessions, thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. And this is connected to 1 Timothy 2:4, where it says, our Savior God who desires all men to be saved. So you see, prayer is related to the gospel. And it is actually the first requirement, first thing we need to do. Yesterday, I was encouraging you to pick up, right, the burden, take the opportunity. What do? Just go out and do something? No, first of all, pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And with prayer comes power. You see in Romans 1:9 and 1:16, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel." There you go. The gospel of the Son. You have the gospel. "How unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul knew the secret. He said, first of all, pray, because with prayer comes the power.
Amen.
There's the power for the gospel. Oh, sorry. In 1:16 it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power." You have the gospel related to prayer, and here you have not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Again, you have gospel, you have prayer, and you have power. So you see here, this point is very clear. For there to be power and impact in preaching the gospel, first we have to pray.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on to letter A. Sisters, how about you read A? Amen. Very good. We may think that, like I said yesterday, we just go out and start doing something. And many of us may think, oh, I am the shy one. I am the introvert. It is difficult for me to talk to people. You know, those ones who have a lot of, who are very verbose and wordy, they could talk, talk, talk all day. No, don't think that this is the way, you know, that we preach the gospel. We may think that more words, right, or more reasonings make us more effective. No, it's not our quietness, it's not our wordiness or our talkativeness that helps us. It is our prayer.
Amen.
We first need to not open our mouth to man. We need to open our mouth to God.
Amen.
We don't go out and start doing some big activity, right? We go and we pray to God.
Amen.
We need to build up a personal prayer life and a corporate prayer life. We open our mouth to God, and this brings in an effectiveness in our gospel preaching, okay? So first, we open our mouth before God. Okay, let's go on to B. Brothers, read B.
As Christians, we are priests and kings. First, as priests, we should bring people to the Lord in our prayer. Then, as kings, we preach to bring the Lord to people.
Amen. Going back to point A, don't think also it is eloquence or arguments or reasoning. Two people can say the exact same thing, but one has weight because they have been filled with God through prayer.
Amen.
And they have released the person in front of them because of prayer. Again, be saved from the thought that I need to be something else. No, we just need to pray. All of us are destined to bear fruit, and we can bear fruit if we go to the Lord in prayer. The priests were the ones that went to the Lord in prayer, okay? I just love this in Exodus 28, 19 through 12, and 15 through 21 and 29. They're not referenced on your sheet, but the priests were the ones who went into the presence of God, and then from the presence of God, they went out to man. You see, the order here is very critical, right? In our serving God, we first go into God with man, and then we go to man with God. Say that with me. First we go to God with man, then we go to man with God. Amen. Moses was one who went to God, and then he just enjoyed God. Then he went, right? He was the first priest to the children of Israel. Every time they had a problem, he went to God. He went to the tent of meeting, and then he came to the people. He didn't trust in his own speaking. He trusted in contacting God through prayer. Also, a very practical example is in Exodus, the verses I referenced, Exodus 28. The high priest, he went into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, but he bore stones upon his shoulders and his breasts. And on those stones were names of the tribes of Israel. When we go to God in prayer, we need to realize our first function is to absorb God. But then we also need to bring people to God. The high priest was there bringing ones, bearing ones on his heart. This is why yesterday we need a loving heart. We need to bear ones on our chest. Who is written on your chest? Who is written on your heart? Lord, who is on my shoulder? Who am I bearing? Some have borne me my whole life. Some have dispensed into me. My serving ones have borne me on their shoulders to bring me to today. We need to be the priest today. Amen. Revelation 1:6 says, God has made you, amen, right? A kingdom and a priest to God. Amen. You are a priest today. Amen. You need to bear some on your heart. You need to bear some on your shoulder. Amen. Bring them to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We can all do this. We need this in a personal way to have time before the Lord, bringing some to God. So I just like right now, you need to consider who are some that God has placed you with. I shared yesterday, in a few weeks, in a few months, you'll be there in class and you'll have many more you need to write on your name list. But you still have some right now that you should write down one or two names right now, that ones that are on your heart. God has maybe placed some on your heart, on your shoulder. Right now, write the names down. We all need to bear some before God. Right now, all of you look down. Don't look at me. Look down and write a name. The Lord has to have put someone on your heart. This list will grow and it will get enlarged, but right now, just write down. Begin your list. Don't just listen to me tell you to have a list. Begin a list right now. Even as you are considering throughout this weekend, maybe the list will grow. Start with one name. And then you add more and more, okay? Very practical. Make a list of your classmates, coworkers, family. Don't think your coworkers can't get saved. We just had some neighbors move in that smoke all the time, right? They have tattoos, right? And they, I don't know what they do all day. They're just home. They're on my prayer list. Lord, my neighbors. Don't think anyone cannot get saved. You got saved and you were hopeless. I got saved and I was helpless. We all can have some that can get saved, but we have to bear them before God. Be very practical, not theoretical. Make a list. Bear these ones before God. Okay, then when we pray, we need to go to see. When we pray, people only reject the gospel because they are under the captivity of the strong man. That is the devil. Before the young people go to the campuses, they must pray and bind the strong man. So as we bear ones before God in love and on our shoulder with our strength, we also need to remember that Satan is behind them and we need to bind him. Do you have eyes to see the spiritual scene? We have eyes to see the physical scene. And many of us see and live just by what we see outwardly. But there is a spiritual divine scene. And we need to be able to enter in to see that scene and pray according to what we see in the spiritual realm. Amen. Our prayer needs not only to touch the outward things, but the spiritual things behind the people. Okay, so I'm going to have a quick example. Raymond, come up. Maybe Josh and Dong. How about you, brothers? Come up very quickly. Don't delay. When you see people on the campus, come on, Dong. And Josh here. So you turn around. When you see people on the campus, Josh is going to preach the gospel to Dong, but behind Dong is the strong man. Oh, Lord. Amen. Strong man, get down, get down. Okay, hold his shirt, right? Sure. Josh, right here, he only sees Dong, and he preaches the gospel. Preach the gospel. Follow me. Love the Lord.
Follow me.
And Dong says, what? Dong may have some desire to follow him. Try and follow him. Follow him. But no, he can't. The strong man is pulling him back, right? He is captive. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't receive. You know what I mean? So Josh went to preach the gospel, but he forgot to pray. So the strong man is binding him. But Josh, firstly, goes to the church, says, saints, in the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, can we pray for my gospel contact, Dong? Can we pray? Okay, the church prays. Lord, bind the strong man. No, with the strong man, you need to have prevailing prayer. You cannot just say, oh, Lord Jesus, help me in the gospel. You know, this is, you're dealing with the enemy. You need to pray as the church in a prevailing way. Say, bind the strong man.
Bind the strong man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You pray with the church. You pray in the student coordination. You pray with others on your campus in a prevailing way, especially this first week and throughout the semester as you have contacts. That strong man will be released.
Amen.
Okay, one more time as the church. Bind the strong man. Strong man. No, strong man. You're bound. Okay, and then he preaches the gospel and Dong is freed. I think you get the point. But my burden here is see the spiritual scene. Go to the church. Pray with the church to bind the strong man. We need to move on quickly. Two, let's read two all together. If we are going to be prevailing in the gospel, we need to go to the Lord every day. Amen. Hallelujah. First point here is go to the Lord. As we said yesterday, it's marvelous, these lines of the life cycle and the gospel. They go together wonderfully. Today you had fellowship. You need a fellowship with the Lord. So we not only need to pray for others, we need to deal with the Lord regarding ourselves, that there is a clear channel of fellowship open. We can come to the Lord, right? And we can receive the Lord with no hindrance, no barrier, nothing between. When we go to the Lord, then we get ourselves adjusted, cleansed, enlightened, exposed, and rebuked. So I will not emphasize too much here because you already have a line of fellowship here. But I just wanted to highlight this. John 1, 5, 7, and 9, we may know very much as verses regarding the life cycle. But look, in John 1, 5, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you. The life cycle is in the context of the gospel, of flowing God out. You have to see this. These go together. We cannot go to man without having God in our being with no separation between us and him. We need to deal with the Lord in the way of life so that our activity is full of life, full of vitality, and full of God, that God is really being brought to man. There is no skipping this step, okay? So even the life cycle is in the context of the message and announcing the gospel. Okay, point A, the greatest obstacle to prayer is sin. The moment we take sin lightly or tolerate it, our prayers will be hindered. Oh, Lord Jesus, this sin is an obstacle, a barrier, a separation. We see this in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It says, no, Jehovah's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so heavy that he cannot hear. We say, Lord, we've been praying so much. Why don't you do something? Did you not hear our prayer? Jehovah says, your iniquities have become a separation. Isaiah says, between you and your God, your iniquities have become a separation. Your sins have hid his face from you so that he does not hear. You think God can hear you all the time? Sin is a barrier. God cannot come to meet if there is sin. God cannot hear even if there is sin. You need to consider, you're praying so much, right? You have a list. But is there anything between me and you, Lord? This is another question you have to ask. Lord, eliminate every barrier. I'd like you to be able to see us and hear us, right? He could hear our prayer, okay? We need to not tolerate sin. This day and age, there is so much around you regarding tolerance. But here, we are here to give you a healthy word. Sin cannot be tolerated.
Amen.
Not in the slightest bit. Have zero tolerance for sin. Again, the life cycle will emphasize this. And you will have a message on the blood of Jesus. You can come to the Lord even though you have sinned. You can come. You can receive the blood. And you can be cleansed of, and you can be eliminate the barrier of separation. Praise the Lord. There will be more on this. I just want to encourage you. Come to the Lord.
Amen.
We love our Lord.
Amen.
Satan is a liar.
Amen.
We can come at any time.
Amen.
And that's the best place to be. Separation from God is just terrible. I love the Lord, and the Lord loves me.
Amen.
We can come to the Lord through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Finally, point B. Let's just finish up here quickly. If we allow the Lord to touch us inwardly and have everything in our life and living checked by Him, then we will have a daily life that matches the gospel, and our preaching will be fruitful. Amen. Okay, just 2 points here. We are not talking about a movement or an activity. We are talking about a daily life and a living that matches the gospel. We are not here just to get you stirred up for a period of time and then you die out. Saints, we experience that too often. We've done that already. Let's not continue to do that. Let's build up a living and a daily life of magnifying Christ.
Amen.
This is Philippians 1:20. We will magnify, Christ will be magnified in my body.
Amen.
Then finally, saints, don't be afraid to come to the Lord and open up everything. Deal with the Lord, open to the light. It is very wonderful. It is not terrible to come to be in the Lord's presence and to deal with the light. Have everything checked by the Lord. What results when we have everything in our life checked by the Lord is that things get dealt with, and the Lord as the Spirit can come to fill. And we have the Spirit in our speaking and in our living that brings the power and the impact.
Amen.
Our power and impact is from God, but we must receive God. And we must check with Him regarding everything.
Amen.
I had no time to read, but in here, page 61, there's a situation where some get dealt with regarding their modern fashion and how that was a barrier to receiving God and having no impact and power on the gospel. There's also examples, many examples, even our brother Nee and our brother Lee. Actually, if you want to reference, I'll reference the Seer of the Divine Revelation, Chapter 7, point 1 and 2 is exactly Brother Nee's experience. He had to make a list, and he had to pray over this list day after day, and eventually, after a period of time, 69 out of 70 on his list got saved. Okay? All of these ones got saved. And it wasn't that he prayed and then he went to do something, but because he was praying, the opportunity arose, and he was able to just speak something. But also, he realized that he needed to deal with the Lord regarding clearance of the past, restoration of things that he had taken or improperly dealt with people in certain ways. He had to clear all of the things in order for the Lord to give him himself as the Spirit to have the power to preach the gospel for these ones. So eventually, he dealt with the Lord, and he got cleared. And then he had to go on in an even further way. So if you have been practicing this, I'll give you another verse for those that have been practicing. And really, we need to have everything checked by the Lord. This verse is Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. We need to check all our desirings and all the things we have before the Lord, that there would be nothing hindering Him giving Himself to us the power to preach the gospel and to lead men to salvation. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So this is the matter of prayer.
Amen.
Our brother will open up now the matter of companions.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Can we praise the Lord 3 times?
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Don't you love this fellowship?
I
really hope that by this time you have the realization that what we're speaking is not an activity.
Amen.
We're speaking about a life.
Amen.
Life of the gospel. Again, this is our destiny.
Amen.
To bear fruit.
Amen.
So when we come to see these points, we want to have this frame here, right? That what we're doing is not just to have safe persons, you know, safe souls and just leave them there. What we want is remaining fruit. John 15, the Lord, again, has had a grafted to the vine so that we will bear fruit and this fruit should remain. And the fellowship that we're receiving this week is to help us to get remaining fruit. Amen. So first we saw this matter of prayer, and now we come to a very practical point, which is companions. Amen. Once we are burdened, we come to pray, we need something. We need companions. Amen. So our brother asked you to write two names, right? I hope you wrote the two names. Let's take 5 seconds, sorry, 10 seconds, and with the one next, sitting next to you, just for now, he will be your companion. Pray for those names. Amen. Right now. 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. All right. How do you feel? Amen. Praying for your friends with a companion. Amen. I said 10 seconds. You went almost to a minute. Just to show you. We can pray. Amen. We have a life in us, right, that cares for these ones. Amen. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 3 together. In group, together with companions. The gospel preaching on the campuses will be like wildfire, prevailing, convincing people, and put Satan to shame. Don't you want to put Satan to shame?
Amen.
What a better way than having people being safe on your campus?
Amen.
Everything on the college campuses is against God. But how good it is that there's a group of people that stand against the tide of the age. Amen. And are one with God.
Amen.
For his move. Okay, I will need help here. Let's have these four brothers. Can you please read 2 Timothy 2:22? These brothers here, Luke 12:49. And then the second row here, all of you, go to the book of Ecclesiastes. This is in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 9. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:22. Go.
But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Okay, let's do this. Can you please stand? You read the verse, and what we will say?
Amen.
Amen. We will need to stand with our brothers. Okay. Amen. 1, 2, 3, go. 2 Timothy 2:22. Useful lust, amen.
And pursue righteousness,
amen.
Faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of
a pure heart. Amen. Okay, this row. Luke 12:49. Go.
I have come to cast fire on the earth.
Amen.
Now I wish that it were already kindled.
Amen. Okay, second row. Ecclesiastes 4:9.
Two are better than one.
Amen.
Because they have a good reward for their labor.
Amen. Okay, let's all say this. Two are better than one.
Two are better than one.
Okay, sisters.
Two are better than one.
Brothers.
Two are better than one.
Now to your neighbor, say it.
Two are better than one.
Where are these?
Amen.
These are companions.
Amen.
And we would like to just share a little bit. Because we might, there might be the thought of, or different thoughts about what is a companion for. You know, when we speak here about companions, it's not just to have a social time, right? This is not what we're talking about. Also, you may have the thought of having a companion and spiritualize everything, just like we saw last night, right? Brother Craig was saying that we might spiritualize everything with our, and maybe we do this with our companions. And there is something that human beings cannot be that is to be balanced. That's why we need the humanity of Jesus. Yeah. Only this humanity can enable us to pray. Only this humanity can enable us to be paired together with someone else. Amen. So we saw this matter of prayer, and the first thing that we need to pray is for us to be grouped. Amen. You know, there's something within us that doesn't want to be grouped in this sense, for this purpose. Ecclesiastes 4:9, it tells us there, two are better than one, right? Praise the Lord. Is this good? But what is the purpose of the two that are better than one? Amen. That they have a reward for their labor. Amen. So when we speak about being grouped together, when we speak about being companions or having companions, it's for fruit bearing. Amen. So let's open our eyes to see that our companions are for fruit bearing. Amen. And even for our fruit to remain. And of course, having companions have different dimensions, right? One is this one, which is we are focusing right now. Other one is in 2 Timothy 2:22, right? To flee youthful lust, right? And pursue righteousness, peace, joy, right? Amen. With those who call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Who are these ones? We, amen. Right? Mm-hmm. No? Yes. Okay, if we are this one, let's call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus. Don't worry. Amen. Lord Jesus. You know, right now, don't worry if your heart is 100% pure. Just keep calling on the name of the Lord. And your heart will be pure. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Luke 12:49, the Lord there was speaking about casting fire. What is this fire? You know, when the Lord came in his incarnation, there was something in him that was burning. That was the divine life. And he knew that only through the process of death and resurrection, amen, that life will be released. Amen. And that release of that life will become like an impulse, like a fire being impulsed out to burn. Right? So that life has come into us, right? Because we have received the life of God in us. So there's a flame in us. There's some fire in us. And you know, the Apostle Paul, right, also in Timothy, he said what? Fan into flame the gift of God. So you have that flame within you. What we need to do is what? To fan it into flame. A way to fan that flame into flame, right? To flame, right? To make it burn. Yeah. It's preaching the gospel. Amen. Because when you speak the gospel to someone else, you bring in that fire to that person. Amen. And the fire spreads. Amen. Don't you want to see this fire spreading in your college campus? Amen. I want to see this fire spreading in Cypress College. Amen. What about your campus? Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So let's give ourselves to preach the gospel. Amen. Okay, let's read letter A. We must
make the decision to pick up some others as companions looking to the Lord and praying for this.
Okay, so here we have a pop-up testimony. Let's have Daniela. Yes. Here in the front.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Daniela, and I just finished my second term in the full-time training. I'm just going to share my experience about companions. So I had a really positive experience in college with companions, and I had two sisters that I really pursued the Lord with and I was very close to. But when I came to the training, I didn't have a companion, and I didn't realize it at first. You know, I thought I could do it on my own, you know. But the Lord is faithful to speak through his word.
Amen.
I was reading in my daily Bible reading, and I read Matthew 18:20, for where there are two or three gathered into my name, amen, there am I in their midst.
Amen.
And the Lord just spoke so clearly. He asked, where is your two?
Amen.
Where is your three?
Amen.
And I realized, wow, Lord, I'm lacking. I'm lacking a companion. You know, I'm lacking someone to pray with, someone to pray for, someone to be vital with. So I really started to pray so desperately, and I started to look to the Lord and just mentioning to him in my personal time, in my morning time, Amen. You know, just praying, Lord, what about a companion?
Amen.
And, you know, I'm still praying, but, you know, I trust that the Lord will provide
Amen.
Because he doesn't want us to run the race alone.
Amen.
So I just encourage you all who don't have companions, or are currently praying, just keep praying.
Amen.
There might be some on your campus who don't have a companion or who are also praying, and the Lord will be faithful to join you both together.
Amen.
So just keep praying.
Amen.
Amen. Keep praying.
Amen.
We need to pray that we will be willing and open to be grouped. Let's pray that, Lord, I am willing and open to be grouped. Lord, I am willing and open to be grouped. We need to pray because maybe the person that might become your companion be the one that you expect the least. You might not think of this person being compatible with you. You are one way, the person is another way, and you say, this will never work. But the Lord, in his sovereignty, will arrange the situation for the two of you to become companions.
Amen.
So we need to pray. And if you pray and the Lord's move in the environment, in your situation, I'll tell you the blessing will come.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Okay, let's all read letter B. Okay, here also we have some pop-ups. Also, we have Isaac and Wendy and Jane. Can you please come to the front? And here's the microphone.
Hi, everyone. My name is Isaac. I'm going into my last year of school in Vancouver, Canada. And I'd like to share my experience with two of my companions. So one brother I spent a lot of time with starting about 3 years ago. And we started realizing, you know, we're spending a lot of time together. And our being under the ministry and being in fellowship with older brothers, we had a sense that our relationship cannot have honey. And we don't want to be just to be a social friendship. So beginning our times together, we prayed to the Lord, Lord, we want this relationship to make it to the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And we pray, we consistently pray, or we consecrate our relationship to the Lord, that it would be something for the Lord's building.
Amen.
And presently, we have a time together after the prayer meetings, after Tuesday night, in his car, and we just pray. We open to one another how we're doing, and if there are certain situations that we're going through, we learn to open to one another, and we learn to pray for one another.
Amen.
And because we also have those who we are burdened for, we share their situations, and together we just pray to the Lord that the Lord would have a way with the ones that we are caring for.
Amen.
And then another brother is outwardly we're not compatible whatsoever. And initially we started having some appointments together in Vancouver, and then this brother actually moved to Hong Kong after he finished school. And we still maintain a set time every week, Monday morning for me, Monday evening for him, through Skype. And we actually, believe it or not, we've been reading the book Christ as the Reality. And we read a chapter, and then we also open to one another our personal situations, our family situations. And our view is that the way to be blended is that we need to pray with one another.
Amen.
And that is the key, because we can like each other, we cannot like each other. But regardless the outward situation, when we pray together,
Amen.
We are blended with one another.
Amen.
And just to quickly share, you know, this verse says there's a reward for our labor. The brother that I pray with on Tuesday nights, there are a few that we are caring for, and one of them in particular in the recent 2 years, we prayed him into the church life. We caring for him with the saints in the homes, and we're still praying for him, and we are bearing him on our shoulders, and we want him to go on in a strong and healthy way.
Amen.
And I'm also praying with this brother in Hong Kong, and recently I just finished an 8-month work placement at a PT clinic, and my coworker, I shared with her that I'm a Christian and such, and she shared that she's had some negative experiences with Christians, so she was not very open. But consistently praying with my two brothers, on her last day of work, I felt to write her a card and to give her a recovery version. And I was a little skeptical because she had such negative experiences with Christians, but a few days later, she texted me saying, you have no idea how meaningful that gift was to me and how timely it was, because at that time, she had started going back to church. And just a few months ago, the church in Vancouver had a gospel meeting, and we prayed that she would be willing to come. And she came, and she received the Lord and was baptized.
Amen.
So praying with companions, we really see that this is the way for us to go on.
Amen.
We can go on in a corporate, blended way to gain fruit, remaining fruit for the Lord's building.
Amen.
I just have to say that companionship is something very organic.
Amen.
Jane and I just became companions this past winter break.
Amen.
And it is something that was not forced by ourselves. You know, we didn't come to each other and just say, will you be my companion? I need a companion. But it was really a matter of the Lord.
Amen.
It just began one day. She opened this matter to me of her condition, and it was really funny because I was in the same exact condition.
Amen.
And the Lord just brought us together by our condition.
Amen.
And then from then on, we picked up the burden for one another to pray for one another.
Amen.
And the Lord really took this and just blessed us.
Amen.
And as we went through our semester, we just continued to pray. And then we got into the Word. And eventually we came across the Law of Revival, this ministry book, and we just pursued Christ with one another.
Amen.
And eventually this issued in our even bringing one another's burdens for fruit. We didn't necessarily have like a corporate fruit together, but you know, we just had names, and like, I have this name to pray for.
Amen.
I do too.
Amen.
And then we would just pray.
Amen.
Amen. And like Whitney said, this companionship is really very like supplying, because I feel like it was through these times that I was being supplied, so
Amen.
I can supply my fruit.
Amen.
And it was because throughout the semester, we would like read together. Whenever we had like situations, we would call each other and like pray and whatever
Amen.
We were doing, just you know, look out for each other. And because of this supply, I got to meet this classmate in my class, and she was like, she came to me and she knew I was a Christian, and she was like, wow, I can tell you're like really different, like you have some, like you really care about this Christian thing or something. And so she came into the church, and like she came to home meeting, she invited me to her house, she invited her whole family to the home meeting. And so she's like really open, but it was because I was being supplied through this
Amen.
Time
Amen.
That she saw
Amen.
Something different.
Amen.
And so and then I also brought like the name to Whitney, and we pray for her, for
Amen.
Her. And it was just, it's just like so sweet that we have companions, like we have each other to be
Amen.
Supplied to supply others.
Amen.
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 Can you see it?
Amen.
Two are better than one.
Amen.
Can we say it again? Two are better than one. Okay. Can you also see the point? Take the decision. Pray. And get a companion. And when you get a companion, you pray for your contacts. Before that, you have to study the cases, right?
Amen. Yeah.
The people that you have in your heart, you
yeah.
study their cases, and then you can pray and have more fellowship.
Amen.
Okay, also, when you have your companions, I really appreciate this, is that we also need to pray for one another.
Amen.
How can I care for someone if I myself have a burden? As something, I'm going through something, and I cannot be released from that. If I try to go and try to care for someone
yeah.
having this situation and not open to my companion or open to someone about it, there won't be any flow of the divine life to that person. Okay. Well, now let's all read letter C. After taking the step to become blended, mutual fellowship,
prayer and care, we should go on to contact people
Christ's body.
Okay, here we have also another pop-up, and this is Raquel and Melanie. Amen. Amen. Are they here? Oh, yes, they're coming. Okay.
I'm Melanie, and I go to OCC.
I'm Raquel. I just finished going to San Francisco.
Amen. Amen. So during my first year, my freshman year, Raquel and I started having regular times on campus, like 2 to 3 times a week. We were just reading the life study messages. But this time soon really became a time for praying for the ones we were burdened for. Mm-hmm. And So the summer before my freshman year, my best friend got saved. And even though she received the Lord in her spirit, she very much still had, like, outward situations which were limiting her to fully coming to church life. So even though she was my best friend, I know everything about her, you still need to study your case.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, I know her in a natural way.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how to take care of her in a spiritual way.
Amen.
So I really needed Raquel to pray with me and have fellowship.
Amen.
Because her mom really opposed her being a Christian. So we didn't know how, and she was kind of like hesitant because she was very one who honored her parents.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just through praying, we had the Lord's leading to just bring her to a college conference.
Amen.
And We had spoken to her about baptism, and she was just like, before the college conference. But we were in the college conference. I didn't ask her. She just came up to me. She's like, I want to be baptized.
Amen.
And then she got baptized at college conference.
Amen.
Amen.
So in Colossians 1:3, it says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Praying always concerning you.
Amen.
And we see the pattern in the Lord's humanity as being the one who is always interceding and praying. And so I really thank the Lord for giving us this experience, because she was an incoming freshman, and she had all these burdens, you know. And we actually went to a Freshman Connect, and we met another new one who had come from a denominational institution. And so we had this one, and then we had her best friend.
Yeah.
And we had the exact same schedule that semester. So we would meet up 2 to 3 times a week, and we would read a portion of the life study of John, and then we would bring up these names. And so more and more in actually the ministry excerpt, it talks about being desperate for the Lord and having his sense in how to take care of the ones, right?
Amen.
And so for this new one, we would continue to take steps forward, and we would continue to pray for her.
Amen.
And when we would bring up certain matters, we would pray even before telling her.
Amen.
And even though she made it to the college training, we brought up conference, we brought up the matter of calling on the Lord, and she rejected it. And we continue to pray, and we continue to go forward in the Lord. But we need to exercise our discernment according to the leading of the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, and we have to select which ones we have to really work for.
Amen.
And as she said, we really prayed for this one,
yeah.
But we realized we had to focus on her best friend.
Yeah.
And that was only because we had the clear way from the Lord to keep going forward.
Amen.
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 You know, this is good. So in point C, we see these practical points of having a companion, right? We should pick up the burden, right? That's number one. Number two, we need to have a set goal. What is our goal?
Amen.
To have fruit.
Amen.
And that this fruit will remain.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we need to exercise our will.
Amen.
Number three, we need to make a list of our acquaintances.
Amen.
Pray for them. Ask for the Lord's leading.
Amen.
John 15:16. You did not choose me. That's what the Lord said. But I chose you.
Amen.
And I have said to you that you bear fruit.
Amen.
And that your fruit shall remain.
Amen.
And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that asking is about your fruit.
Amen.
the Father may give you. Amen. Then in 4, as our sisters were testifying and or speaking, when we meet with our companions, we study the case. We ask the Lord, how is the best way to take care of this one?
Amen.
The Lord will surely answer these prayers.
Amen.
But then finally, point number 5, don't be discouraged, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have quick results.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Our labor is not in vain.
Amen.
If you try to do this alone, for sure you'll be discouraged.
Amen.
But if you have a companion, you can encourage one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so let's all finish with reading the focus statement all together. Let's all stand and read it.
For power and impact in our gospel preaching, we must firstly pray.